Matthew chapter 5 tonight, and this evening we're going to look at, you know, many times we look at the gifts that God gives to us. God gives us so many wonderful things, doesn't he? He gives us salvation, he gives us his word, he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, he provides for our physical needs, he gives us our very life, he sustains us by his power. All that we see and all that we know is sustained by his great power. If God took away his sustaining power but for an instant, this entire universe would vaporize. If you look at Revelation, we see that the old earth and the old heaven shall pass away, that the elements will burn with a fervent heat. And so what would cause that? I believe it's just simply God taking a sustaining hand off of it. It's just going to completely self-destruct, but there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when we get there. I mean, this sojourning in this old wicked world will one day end, but let's be faithful while we're here. We're not going to always be here. Amen? As I guess y'all plan to live forever then. Amen? How many are awake here tonight? Good, everyone's awake, good. But, I mean, we're not going to be here forever, amen? Amen, all right, you're all with me. I know we're trying to get our Bibles out and everything, trying to get to Matthew chapter 5, but we're not going to be here forever. We're to be sojourning in this land. We are not citizens of this world. If we're saved, we're citizens of heaven tonight. That's another gift that God gives to us. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross for our sin. We don't deserve any of it. But tonight, when we reflect on Christ and all things, and especially in the area of what he's given us, what are we giving to the Lord? What are we giving to the Lord? Many times we think in giving of terms of our tithes and our offerings. You know, we put our check in the offering plate or whatever. Some people, you know, do it anonymously. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good thing, just be giving and no one to know about it, amen? You know, some people keep track of it for the IRS, but some people have different convictions about it. I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong, but you know what? But the Bible does say that whatever we do in secret, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When we give to the Lord, let it be done in secret. He'll reward us openly. But tonight we're going to look at the fullness of giving. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at the requirements for giving. Now, I'm not saying that tithes and offerings is not part of our giving, but there's much more to it. Sometimes we just focus on that part of it. There's a lot more to giving, and we've been going through looking at some aspects of the church. We've looked at the structure of the church, and this is an important aspect of every church, the giving of the Christian to God. I think it's only right. God is giving so much to us that we should want to. You know, some people say, well, I'm obligated to give things back. We should want to, amen? We love God. We don't want to give something back to him. And tonight we're going to look at that. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God as we read it together, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 23, and also look at verse number 24 tonight. And if you could all read aloud with me, if you could, and usually we don't do that, but if you could read aloud with us, I'd appreciate that. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23. Now let's begin. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let's pray together. Dearly Father, I pray that you bless the message tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do, and that we would have a good reminder here. But also, Lord, that maybe there needs to be some adjustments. Oh, Lord, I know I need adjustments. I know I need mid-course corrections. And I pray tonight that we would see this need and that we would see the fullness, what you intend for us in giving to you. And, Lord, I pray that we would not miss the blessing or the instruction tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The fullness of giving. And so tonight, there's a lot more to giving. Sometimes I've heard messages that talk about tithes and offerings, but that's part of giving, not the entire thing. And so, but some people, they say, well, there's more to giving, but then they diminish the responsibility of tithes and offerings. But first, we're going to look at the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. What are we to do? What attitude are we to have as a Christian? I think that ought to be the goal of every Christian. What does God expect out of me? What attitude does God want me to have? What kind of actions does God want me to have? What kind of actions, what kind of attitude? And so right here, we need to look at the attitude of giving. So no one likes a grump, right? Someone that's just upset. You know, maybe you're one of those people that when you wake up in the morning that you're just upset at life and the world and everything in it because you just have had to wake up. You know, some people, they just get up, they have a smile on their face, and they're just wonderful. They have this pleasant spirit, and everybody hates those people in the morning. No, but no one likes a grump or someone that just, just has a grumbling attitude. But sometimes when the time comes to give something of ourself, our attitude sometimes can be soured. If we're expected to give something, and really what that is, that's an attitude that's rooted in selfishness, in that I'm inconvenienced, I don't think I need to do this. Why we become, our attitude sometimes sours when we're giving to God, is that I should not be expected to do this. I should not be expected to have to do this. Well, why is this? Well, let's look at the definition of an attitude. Okay, in a painting and sculpture, that's dictionary definition, the posture or action in which a figure or statue is placed, the gesture of a figure or statue, such a disposition of the parts as serves to express the action and sentiments of the person represented. It's okay, Pastor, translate that. Okay, what it is if we can tell by how someone looks, by their facial expression, by their body language, by their verbal expression, if they are upset or not. Amen? I think we would all agree with that. In that when we hear someone say something in a particular way, and they have certain types of body language or facial expressions, you know, someone that's smiling, but then is, you would not expect that person to be smiling and talking, that they would be completely out of control, angry with you, right? We wouldn't expect that. That means something good or pleasant is going on. But someone who has a face like this and that, we've done something, we've upset them, their attitude is different. And the Lord has some specific commands regarding our attitudes towards giving. The first thing that we see, now looking at Matthew chapter 25, we see that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is part of giving, in that they're bringing their offering to the temple. But right here in verse 20, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Okay? So we need, first of all, our attitude. We need to have a right attitude towards others. This passage clearly states that we should not have offense or strife between our brother and sister in Christ before we give to the Lord. That's interesting. You know, many times we don't think that when we give to the Lord, if we're giving up our time or giving of our money, our resources, which are all God's anyways, we are giving of ourselves, that we don't usually think. We think of being right with God, but let me tell you something. If you're not right with your brother or sister in Christ, you're not right with God either. Amen? If you're not right with somebody, if you're bitter at somebody, you're angry at somebody, you are not right with God because you are sinning against God. God says it is a sin to be unforgiving. It is a sin to be bitter. It is a sin to be angry. It is a sin to have strife between people in the church or even outside the church, between your family members or between somebody at your workplace, even if they're not saved. Is it if you have ought against, you have a problem. Amen. Not talking about, you know, people are always going to have problems with us. People are individually accountable to God. If that person has a problem with you and you've tried to get it right, guess what? The Bible says if we go and try and get it right and they won't hear us, it's not our responsibility past that. But if we have ought, we have a problem, we should have a right attitude towards others. This is before we give to the Lord. Amen. You know, a lot of the things that don't happen in the house of God, you know why we don't see revival? You know why we don't see things happen in our church? You know why? Because everyone waits to the end of the sermon to get right with God. Why don't we, if we know we're not right with God, get it right before we even come to church? Amen. God will use you in your ministry. God will use you in the church. You'll have a great spirit in church. Amen. Guess what? When you're not right with God and you walk through the door, everybody knows. Amen. And it gets quiet. because you think that nobody knows that you're not right with God. Everybody knows. Anybody with an ounce of spiritual discernment knows that you're not right with God or something's going on when you walk through the door of the church. So what's going on? If we're not right with God or not right with somebody, you know what? Before we give to the Lord, maybe even we say before we get up Sunday morning, we spend time some prayer. You know what? We need to spend time in our Bible even on Sunday mornings. Have some devotional time. Get excited about coming to church. As well, I'm going to hear the sermon. That's great, but there needs to be some other things besides just the sermon. If you are just living off of sermons that you hear on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you are living a very meager spiritual existence. You need to have meat every single day. Guess what? How would you like it if you ate four times a week? You'd be dying. Amen. You'd be like 50 pounds and be a bare-bone skeleton, and that's what a lot of Christians do. They don't have a time with the Lord, and they are bare-bone spiritually. I said, Pastor, how do we get off on this? I don't know, but there we go. We're going back in. So there's a question. Should we tithe, or should we give our time in soul winning or in the ministries of the church with a bitter spirit? Should we give to God our offering of praise with anger in our hearts? But why is this important? Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. It's important for us as Christian people to have our hearts right with God and with people around us before we give anything to the Lord. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what's going on? And that you can't have it both ways. Either one way or the other. Either you're right with God or you're not. You say, well, I'm right with God mostly, but I'm not right with God here. That doesn't work that way. You can't be mostly right with God. Either you are or you aren't. The partiality, being partially right with God, that's a human invention. We can be partially right with God, or we can be partially right with somebody. Either you're right with somebody or you're not. Amen. And that's what we have to understand. Are we right with God? Are we right with people around us? And so this is something, in that before you put that tithe check in, before you come to church to serve, before you come to soul winning, you need to either get on your phone or go see somebody. You know they have ought against you. Before you give your offering to God for your life, living for Him, serving Him, giving to Him, you go get it right with that person. Get it right. If we do that, we're going to see the fullness of God's giving and fullness of God's blessing if we do that. The second attitude we should have, we need to have a right attitude towards others. Second, we should be giving willingly. Look at Luke chapter 6. Need to be giving willingly. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Instead of trying to pry the dollar bills out of the wallet. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And some people say, well, you give to get. That's not why we give. We're going to look at the motivation for giving in just a minute. But what God is promising, the amount of blessing you've given to other people, God is going to account that. God keeps track of what you give. And also, God keeps track of what qualifies for His blessings. There is requirements for that. There is requirements in our attitude. There is requirements in our motivation. If we have pure thoughts and have a pure heart towards God, then it will be counted as a blessing. But guess what? If we're doing it for other people, we're doing it for ourselves, we're doing it to look good, you know how much that goes toward the blessing of God? Nothing. If you do it for yourself, then you're not doing it for God. You got to be doing this for the Lord and for His service and to give back to Him. And the motivation needs to be correct. And we're going to look at that in just a couple of minutes. All things are God's. We should be willingly giving. You know, sometimes you have to feel like we have to, you know, if we got like a lock on our wallet, You know, like it's got a magnet right here and you're trying to pull it out. Oh, man, and, you know, the Lord's speaking to you about giving to something. Maybe it's a missionaries here, or maybe there's some need in the church, or maybe there's just somebody that you run across that needs something. Someone comes up to you and says, can I have $20 for gas, and whatever it may be. And you're thinking, you know what, that's my money. I worked hard for it. Hold on, stop right there. It's not your money. Amen. Well, it's my money. I worked for it. You worked for it because God allowed you to work for it. God gave you life. God gave you ability. God, your very life is sustained by the power of God. Remember, I just went through that at the beginning. Everything is God's. Every atom. You know that money that we have right here in our wallet? I don't have any right now. But I have a debit card just as good as money, right? So this debit card is, you know what? Well, that's my debit card. It has my bank account on it. It has my name on it. You know, I bank with Chase. You know, go bank with Chase. They do. They're a great bank. You know that. But, you know, this right here, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Let me ask you something. With whose molecules and atoms is this card made with? Not yours. They're all God's. He made them all. In the first days of creation, those atoms and molecules were made, and it's made, yes, it's man's, but it's God's. Every ability, your ability to work and everything. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I agree with that, Pastor. I don't know. God gave us dominion over the earth. I understand that. But the ability, all of that, it all belongs to God. And so when God lays upon your heart, why don't you give? But Lord, that was for something else. That was for something I've been saving for. That I really wanted. Maybe it was a new camera. I don't know what it was. Or maybe he said, Lord, but that's for the grocery money. Or that's for the bills. That's for this. Guess what? He wouldn't ask you to do it if he wasn't planning to provide for that need. Amen? We forget. We think God doesn't think things through. Right? Maybe we heard wrong. You didn't hear wrong. If God's speaking, we know. If you're a Christian, you'll know. If you're right with God and you're saved, you're going to know when the voice of God comes to you. Brother Scott, could I have another glass of water, please? I think I got dehydrated earlier today. My voice going out a little bit. So we should be giving willingly. Our time, our life, our money, our talents, everything about us, we should willingly give it. Saying, well, I don't have time. I need to do this or that. You know, no, if God says do it and God leads you to do it and God calls you to do it and he knocks on your door of your heart, your life, you can fulfill that need. You better be willing and have a good attitude about it. Have a willing attitude. Number three, we should be giving joyfully. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Oh, we can be either the giver that grudgingly puts in his tithe check and grudgingly teaches the Sunday school, grudgingly shows up to visitation, grudgingly hands out a tract, or we can be one that's joyful in doing it. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now notice what's happening at the beginning here. We see purposing in his heart. We see Daniel purposed in his heart in Daniel chapter 1 that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. What is the purposing here? What is the desire here? Thank you. I appreciate that. Hold that thought. So what's the purpose? Let's look at the verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So what does grudgingly mean? That he's going to do it because he's going to look bad if he doesn't do it. And he knows he's supposed to obey and do what God commands, but he don't want to do it. He's grudgingly. He has a grudge. He's mad at God for having to do it. The preacher preached to us, so I've got to do it. And I'm upset. No, that's not the kind of attitude that God wants us to have. Or of necessity, that you feel like you're forced and you need to, and of necessity, well, I guess I've got to do it. No. Purpose in your heart that you're going to give. Look at the end. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Determine ahead of time that you're going to be giving. You're going to purpose what you're going to give, and that you're going to be happy about it. Amen? And you're going to be excited about it. You know, we give to give to the Lord's work. We get to give to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We get to give and see missionaries go around the world and see people get saved. And man, I was so excited to see all those Bibles go out on last Sunday. It was last Sunday, I think it was. Yeah. See all those Bibles go out and see them shipped out all over the world. We get to see those Bibles go. That's exciting to me. That's kind of a visual representation of what your missions money, what's going on with it. Where it's going to missionaries that are doing the same thing all over the world. And when we give, we should be joyful about it and pray for that. Do you pray over your tithe check? Lord, bless this. We pray over the offering. We just don't do it because that's just what we do. We do it for a reason, so that God would bless it and that it would be that we'd use it wisely and that it would only go towards things that please God. Amen. Speaking of that, we ordered some tracks this week. We're going to have them next week. Praise God. Got some two new types of tracks, never used before, but very good content there, very sharp looking, got good information, got our service times on the back of one, and they're going to be here next week, and definitely have an updated look to them and everything, but very good content, have repentance in, looking forward to that, and getting some new tracks here next week. But that's where the money that you put in the plate, that's where it goes, buys tracks, Bibles, discipleship material, and they're not cheap either. Tracks are not cheap. Tracks are $100 a thousand. It's expensive. Things are not cheap anymore. To have your name put on them and things like that, the one place was $155 per thousand. God's simple plans are like $125 a thousand. You know, these are not cheap things, but the Lord provides and we're able to get them. But we need to understand there needs to be some joy in it. This brings a question. What is your motivation for giving? If you're not joyful, if you purpose in your heart, what's your motivation? That's number two if you're taking notes tonight. The motivation for giving. First, we looked at the attitude of giving. Now we're going to look at the motivation for giving. Here's the definition of motivation. That which incites to action. That which determines the choice or moves the will. Why are you doing what you're doing? So we can have a lot of different motivations for something. You know, and that's sometimes when we meet new people or somebody's doing something, we always look at what is motivating somebody. We try to determine that. By the way, what people say their motivation is, sometimes not always their motivation. If their motivation is not of a upright and pure heart, guess what? They're not going to tell you what the real motivation is. They're going to try and tell you what the good one is. But, you know, what's our motivation in giving? If we look at the gifts that God gives us and see the great bounty of them, what do we see? Why does God give us gifts? Why does he do it? What is his motivation? It's very simple to say, but it's very broad in its scope. Simply this, it's because he loves us. Look at Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 11. Because God loves us. That's a very simple statement, but there's so much that goes into that statement. We could preach on it for a whole year. In years and years, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, just talking about the love of God. We could talk about different aspects, see the love of God all through the Bible. We could preach on just that. But right here, we see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. This is talking about do you give things profitable to your children? Do you do anything to hurt them? No, we nurture them. We give them gifts to help them. We give them gifts simply because we love them. He said, if we being evil, meaning having a sin nature, God who is perfect, don't you think God knows how to give good gifts? Don't you think he knows how to give us things that we need? Give us things that are going to be what we require to serve him? Do you think God who is perfect is going to let us down and not give us what we need to accomplish his task? The answer is no to all that. He's going to provide everything. He's going to provide because he loves us. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Ask him. God gives many things without asking, but there's many things that we lack because we didn't ask. Amen? That begs the question, why does God make us ask? Simply this, so we will appreciate it. Also, number two, so we will remember where it came from. If God just automatically gave us everything, guess what? The devil would find a way to take the credit for it somehow. Amen. He would find a way to take the credit for it. Hey, this came from me, and really it is not from God, it's from me. See, I can do that. If God did that, then we would forget about him. There's a reason why we pray. There's a reason why we have to come before the Lord. Because you see how easily we forget him with just doing that, with doing that. We can forget about God very easily because of our sinful nature. But because he loves us and because we are his children, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15, we are the children of God. If you are saved here tonight, you are a child of God. If you've never trusted Christ, then you are not a child of God. We're not all God's children automatically. We're all created by God, but we're not all his children. Those who are saved and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died in your place for your sin, if we have accepted that, repented of our sin, and accepted him, then we are his children. If you're not sure about that tonight, we can talk to your bus captain, talk to me, talk to my wife, talk to Pastor Mrs. Harvey. We'd love to talk to you about that if you have a question. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again as to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. We are now joint heirs with Christ. What a great gift that is. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful reality. We need not lose sight of that. God's motive for giving to us his perfect and holy love for his children, because God loves us, he wants to provide for us and give to us. This should humble us and make us eternally thankful. Amen. Eternally thankful. A pure motivation. The motivation for man's giving is vastly more complicated. What's man's motivation for giving? Well, let's look at what it should be in accordance with the Word of God. It should come from a pure motive of love to God. As God loves us, now we looked at this a couple weeks ago, we looked at the type of love that God loves us, is with agape love, unconditional, sacrificial love. That's how God loves us. We're to love God with the same kind of love. However, man's sin nature can get involved and have false motivation and have this idea, I need to give to get. If I give something, I will get something from somebody, and even people think that'll work with God. But a lot of people forget is that God can see our hearts. God can see our motivation. And God is not fooled or mocked or deceived. So if we're doing it for a bad motivation, a false motivation, you can do it all you want, but you're not going to get anything that you want. You're not going to get what you want from God because God sees it, and he will not bless sin. 1 Chronicles 29:9 tells us this, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." They gave willingly. We saw that just a little bit ago in Corinthians, but they also did it out of a perfect heart, a perfect motivation. They did it because they loved God, because they just wanted to give to God, because of all he had given to them. They just wanted to give back something. They wanted to give that offering of thanksgiving and of praise and of prayer and giving of themselves with a pure motivation, and David rejoiced to see that. Guess what? There's joy in having a pure heart before God. There's joy in giving out of a pure heart. There's a joy in not putting on false airs about things. And people in church can do that. That they don't do it before the Lord. They start out that way, but they do it for the praise of men. I'll never forget this as long as I live. There was a lady in the church that was part of the music. This was many years ago. I think for most of you are here. And was my first couple of years here, and she played an instrument and was playing up here, and then I mentioned something that there was a special played, and I mentioned my wife was playing the piano, and I mentioned, wow, that was, my wife did such a beautiful job on the piano. Thank you for the gift that God's given to you and everything, but I didn't mention this one lady. I wasn't trying not to mention her, but I just slipped my mind. Well, that was a Sunday morning service. Sunday evening service, this lady comes up to me and says, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." I'm like, "Oh man, is there a problem? You know, what's a problem? You know, maybe family problem? You know, I'm thinking of something serious. You know, when someone says, 'Pastor, I need to talk to you,' you know, it's like, what's wrong? You know, I think Brother Scott did that to me. Pastor, there's nothing wrong. Just want to tell you something. It's okay, okay. Okay, I can breathe now. No. But with that, she came up to me and she proceeded to tell me, I said, Pastor, do you know how you were saying after the special this morning? I said, yes. And you mentioned how your wife played the piano? I was like, yes. And I'm confused at this point. Pastor, you didn't mention me. I played the flute today. Didn't you appreciate what I did? And I was thinking all kinds of Bible verses at that moment. But I said, well, I wasn't trying to forget you, but I didn't think of it. It was an oversight. And she goes, well, I'm offended. I'm like, well, I said, I'm sorry you're offended. I said, but I think that maybe we need to look at the motivation for why you wanted praise. Were you playing for the Lord or were you playing for the praise? That was the wrong question to ask her. And she got mad. Well, don't you think you ought to thank people for what they do? I said, I agree, I understand, and we should thank people. But if you're looking for the praise of man, that's not the right motivation. They go, oh, well, maybe you're right, Pastor, and everything. But then over a period of time, a couple months later, they left the church and all mad at me and different things like that. But guess what? If you have a false motivation, if you're doing it for the praise of men, you know what? If you're here and someone gets mentioned for doing something and you're sitting here green in the gills with envy because I didn't mention your name or someone didn't mention your name at work or something happened and you're green in the gills like, oh, I didn't get recognized for what I do. Let me tell you something right here. Your motivation's wrong. You have an absolutely wrong motivation getting zero blessing from God for what you do. We should not do it for the praise of men. We do it because we love the Lord. Do you know that there's people that do so much for God, and they do it in secret so no one knows, and they don't get one iota of praise for their entire life? Because they don't want it. You know why? Because praise makes people arrogant and proud. Now, praise is a good thing. We ought to praise people. I'm not saying it's wrong to praise people. But if you're looking to be praised, then you're going to end up very proud and arrogant. And, oh, I'm somebody. Oh, no, we're none of us or anybody. There's nobody that's a somebody. We're all nobodies. I like that description of soul winning. Is a nobody telling a nobody about somebody. The only somebody is Jesus the Christ. Amen. That's the only person that is worthy of all praise and majesty and glory. We're not worthy of any. If we get it, you know what? This is a great lesson about praise. You know, we need to be more like a duck. You know what? Because ducks have that special oil on their feathers and the water just rolls off their back. Someone praises you and you just need to roll off your back. You know what? When people come up to me and say, Pastor, you know, you preached a good sermon and everything like that. You know, I could get kind of proud. Hey, I guess I preached a pretty good sermon. Now, that's right. I really laid into it today. You know what I say? I said, well, praise the Lord, because it's not me. It's not my message. It's the Lord's message. It's the Lord's word. I think the Lord maybe has given me a speaking ability. I don't think so, but people say that, but I just give God the glory. I don't know. Trust me, the person who is the most afraid to talk in front of anybody is me. I'm still socially awkward. Ask my wife. I still am. I said, well, you're not now because I know all of you. When I get to know somebody, I'm okay. But if I don't know somebody, I'm like, hi, how are you doing? I mean, I was at the city council meeting last night, went there to pray and open up the city council meeting yesterday evening. Guess what? Awkward place to be because everybody knows each other. You know, it's a political realm. You know, everyone knows everybody and all the upper crust of people that have money. And by the way, people that have money don't always dress in the suit. I mean, there's some ranchers in there that had their cowboy boots on and everything, but they had a 24-karat buckle on, you know. But, you know, there's all kinds of people that I'm just sitting there, just little old me, you know, twiddling my thumbs, like, no one talk to me, please. You know, and I'm just sitting here and, you know, and then have the mayor say, is the pastor here? I said, I'm right over here, you know. But and I got, praise the Lord, was able to do that and be a witness and be there. But trust me, there's a very socially awkward situation. I'd rather not be there. I figured out where our tax dollars are going in Killeen. They're going on that city council chamber. Amen. That place has all the technology. I mean, millions of dollars worth of stuff in there anyway. So just know that we have a very highly technical city council meetings there. But I mean, they have all this stuff. I was like, wow, this is just, I'm thinking city council. I mean, I grew up in a small town. I'm thinking, you know, like a couple of fold-up tables and, you know, and I'm not thinking like raised credenza, you know, with these leather chairs. Look like a boardroom. I mean, raised things. They even had a little tape thing so you couldn't approach up there, you know, and everything. And they have all this stuff. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I think that's where the money in that budget went, Brother Hammonds. I think that's where it went. Anyway, they lost a couple $1 million. I think that's where it went. Anyway, they need it. And, you know, they do. They need it. They could give some of it to the Lord's house, maybe, but... And this is why they charge us $140 a month on our water bill for residential drainage. Anyway, maybe I should go to the city council meetings more often, Brother Hammonds. I think we could tell them some things. But getting sidetracked a little bit. What's your motivation? Well, maybe my motivation has been perfect. Guess what? None of us has been perfect in our motivation to God. And, you know, I'll tell you what. One of the times that I was younger, I was new in the ministry, and I was at Bus and Soul Winning Conference. And I went to, was in the bus driver, the bus rodeo. Guess what? My motivation was not to give praise to God. I wanted to win that thing. I wanted to get everyone to say, hey, I wanted to win it, you know, so people would say that, you know, Temple Baptist Church won first place. And guess what? I didn't have a holy motivation for that. I won, but I don't think I did it safely. I think they added the safety category the next time they had because that wasn't safe what I did. But anyway, they didn't give any rules except just get it done and don't hit the cone. So I did it. I don't think they knew that a bus could skid like that. But anyway, But I didn't have a motivation, like, I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, but sometimes we do things, we don't do it for the Lord, we do it for ourselves. But if we're given to God, we need to do it for Him. Whether it's your offerings, whether it's your tithe, it's your time, your physical abilities. You know, we have a lot of different people that do a lot of different things around the church. They spend time fixing plumbing, electrical, doing the grounds, doing different things that maybe other people can't do. When you're doing that, what's your motivation? So someone can look at you and say, oh, well, that's the pipe I fixed, or that's the electrical light I put in, or that's the grass that I cut. It looks that way because of me. Or do we have the motivation, well, this is God's house. That'll look better in my house. Amen? God's house should be cleaner, look better, and everything than anybody's house because it's the Lord's house. Amen? When we give something to the Lord, you know, the attitude of our culture is, hey, we give God what's left over. You know, when people donate stuff to church, when someone calls me up out of the blue, I'm not saying people in the church necessarily, but people outside, hey, pastor, you know, we have some extra things, we have some extra clothes, we have some of this and that. Hey, can we donate it to the church? At the beginning, they're like, oh, sure. Sure, absolutely. Oh, you bring it on in. Oh, they're going to bring us some great stuff. No. I mean, 90%, maybe 95% of what people have given to the church is junk. Should have been thrown in the trash heap. I mean, you ever seen what people give at Goodwill? Ever sit there and watch people drop off stuff? Yeah. Well, people go to God's house sometimes. They give God what's left over. The leftover money. They're leftover time, their leftover talents. Man, you know what? We need to be on time to God's house. Amen? We have an appointment with the Lord when we come to God's house. We shouldn't be showing up 10, 15 minutes late. You wouldn't show up 10, 15 minutes late to work. Amen? Amen. If we show up 10, 15 minutes late to church, we're showing up 10 to 15 minutes late with an appointment with God. If you had an appointment with the president, you would be 30 minutes early. But we have an appointment with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is it really that important, Pastor? Well, why don't you ask the Lord and find out if it is or not? It is. Looking our best, being on time, doing our best for the Lord, all of these things with the proper, willing, sacrificial motivation for the glory of God. Last tonight, we'll look at the gift of giving. Look at Romans chapter 12. Now, there is actually a gift of giving. People have the gift of just, they love to give to people and give and give. And we're blessed to have many people like that in our church. We're so blessed to have that. Not every church has that. There are some churches that are just stone cold. I mean, no one wants to give anything. They'll put their tithe check in, but don't expect them to give anything else outside of their tithe check. I gave my faith promise, missions, pastor. Don't stand up there and ask for anything else. You know, they'll fight you on it. And they'll just look at you and say, I dare you to pull something out of my wallet. And really what they're doing is say, Lord, I dare you to have me give anything else. I already gave what I owe you. Amen. We should never view it that way. Oh, I owe you this, Lord. I paid my bill. We owe Lord everything, even our life. Owe it all to him. But Romans 12:8 tells us about a gift. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth, there is a spiritual gift of giving. Not only sometimes people look at it as giving material things, maybe baking cookies or giving money or slipping $20. That's part of it, but there's more to it than that. That they're just willing to give of their time and give of their effort. Somebody needs help, they're there. They just want to give. They just want to do something. I mean, if they even don't know how to fix something, they just want to be there and just want to encourage and say, anything I can do, I'll give $10 to help bring somebody in. Hey, I can't do this, but hey, I just want to give something. I want to help. Hey, I maybe can't fix the electrical. Hey, but I'll buy the parts, Pastor. I'll buy the wire. I'll just buy the light. I'll do whatever. I can't do it, but I just want to give. I want to do something to help. I want to be a part. Praise God, we have people like that. We have lots of people like that. So I don't know necessarily how to do it, but I just want to give. I want to be a part of it. You know what? We need to do that. I said, I don't know how to do very much, but I just want to give what I have. You know, that's what brought, what's the difference between the missionaries of yesteryear and the missionaries of today is that these people that went to India, we think of William Carey. William Carey didn't have much of an education formally, but he taught himself Greek and Hebrew. He didn't know a lot, but he just gave what he had. And did what he could do. He did it because he loved the Lord and he loved lost people. And look what God did with his life. Abolish the evil practice of the seti, of burning your wife. If your husband died, what they would do is they would burn one of his wives on the funeral pyre against her will most of the time. Sometimes it was willing because the traditions were so strong. But William Carey was instrumental in getting that outlawed in India in the 1800s. So many millions of Indian people saved has a university that he started still there. They still use his translation of the Bible. And I'm Judson in Burma, same thing. But both of these people, they did not have converts for 7 to 8 years. And I'm Judson was imprisoned for many years. His wife, two of his wives died. So many things going on there. They gave to the Lord. And that's what God wants of us. Just give what we have. God gives every assembly those with this gift. Maybe think, I'm so glad that God has given those gifts to those people. I don't have to do it then. No. Just because God has given them a gift doesn't mean that they do all the giving and doing in the church. The requirements for giving to the Lord are of ourselves. It's not just for those who have the gift of giving. It's for everybody. The gift is that they have a special joy in giving, a special willingness. They have no qualms about giving anything to those who are in need. And those who have that gift must be careful to stay in balance. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:12. 2 Corinthians 8:12. Need to stay in balance with it. Because sometimes you can't outgive God. But the priorities can be out of balance. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, this is not to disparage faith giving. We ought to give by faith. But we ought not say, well, I just want to give $100,000 to missions or $200,000. And I'm going to do that in the next 2 months. Hold on. Now, if God led you to do that, now God's going to provide it. Amen. I'm not going to limit God. However, if we're just doing that because we want to give, well, God will provide it, but it's our idea, not God's, then we can become out of balance in that way. And become, and when it doesn't happen, then that can be hurt to someone's testimony. Let us all give according to what God has given us. Let us all give with a cheerful heart. It doesn't matter how much we give, as long as we're giving what God would have us to give. The widow who came and gave her offering at the temple that Jesus held up as our example, she gave her 2 mites. Very small amount of money, but it's all she had, even what she needed for food. Gave all that she had. Now, how many of us in here, we give our entire income to God? That's just it, the entire income. Now, I don't know if she did that regularly or she did it once a year. I don't know. I know there are some people that they'll give their entire paycheck sometimes for a month. They'll be careful. They'll dedicate one paycheck out of a 12-month period and give it entirely to missions or give it entirely to God. 1 month's paycheck. Give all that they have for that month. I don't know if she did that on a regular basis. God doesn't tell us, but he did tell us one thing. She just gave all that she had. That's all that God asked. Just give what we have. Whatever God lays on your heart to give, you need to give it. If it's more, by the way, it's never going to be less than the 10%. Amen? Oh, God laid on my heart to only give $5 instead of 10. No, that's not the Lord, that's you. Or that's the devil whispering to you, that's not God. God's not going to contradict his word. But if he wants you to give more, we ought to have that joy, that willingness, that attitude, that motivation. When it all lines up, we have the fullness of God's blessing. And the fullness of giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray as we come to this invitation time this evening that maybe there's some things that we have held over in our heart and our life that we need to give to you. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's material. I don't know what it is, Lord. But if there's something that maybe is we're holding back for ourselves with a selfish motivation, Lord, I pray that we would just lay it at the altar tonight, whatever it is, and that we would give to you as you have given to us. For Lord, you did not hold back. You gave your very Son so that we might be saved. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless us tonight and help us. I pray that you would help us in our motivation. Lord, if there's anything amiss in any part of our giving to you, our service to you, Lord, that we would get that right. Maybe there's some things we have at odds with other people in the church, in our family, maybe even at work. Lord, I pray that before we give any other sacrifice, that we go and get it right and then return to give our offering, to give our service to you, Lord. I pray that if we do that, we will have a joyful spirit and a joyful heart. I pray that you would bless and help us tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the challenge. And I pray that we would respond in kind as you have spoken to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.